Okay, thank you. So my name is Juliette Kahn, and I will present you what we have done for Heather submission and other analysis we have done after the submission and what we have done because of this proposition of questions. So this work is done with Nicolas Sodiber, Solange Rossato, and Jean-François Bonast, and we come from France. Okay, so the goal of Heather was to analyze how can human experts effectively utilize automatic speaker recognition technologies, and how we can have a mix on the both communities. So it was a very great experience the first time, and so for us it was just a first experience and try to do something for this submission. And the task was a classical verification task with 2.5 minutes of samples for each speaker. They come from a Series 10, and it was very difficult trials, and these trials were chosen by NIST, and the choose of the trials was done from a particular system, and with these two sets, Heather 1 and Heather 2, and so we participate to Heather 2. So with because the samples, the trials include the trials of Heather 2 include the Heather 1. So we do all the task. So what we proposed, it was very simple because LEA is more a computer science laboratory and the League 2. So we just take three native French listeners and two females and one male, and we allowed them to examine spectrogram and to change the bandpass filter signals, so they can do what they want, and they have to decide if it was the same speaker was speaking or it was two different speaker, and give a confidence score. And if they gave a zero, that means that they are not confident in their decision. And if they gave five, that means that they are very confident in their decision. But for the submission to NIST, we choose to use the majority voting. That means because three people, so it's easy to have a majority. So we choose to use this indication to the choose of the decision. And for the score we submit, we choose to do a mapping between the human decision and the score we have with our SVM GMM system, so as to compare try to find fusion score after and to compare this. If you have questions on the mapping, I can answer, but I think that it's more interesting to take other results and see other things. So the fact is that NIST provides us very long samples, so because we decide to do perceptive tests and to listen a lot of the samples, we decide to change a little bit the things and not to give to the listeners all the 2 minutes of speech for each speaker. So we decide so to cut the signal and to select the part which with the more energy and where we are sure that there is a lot of speech and maybe a lot of information. So we select the short things around six seconds for each samples, and because of the you have a lot of in perceptive tests and for things which are done in psychology, they use this kind of duration. So that's why we choose this kind of things. And so I have some examples for. That's you can see and hear what I am talking about. Because the idea was to have a beep between each sample to know that we are changing of sample, yeah, there is a change of sample. So that's my first example.
Yeah, you text me about the part about book season and then about yards to your head.
Yeah, I'm really bad. And I'm like, you want to do it in Canada?
Because I know people are like, oh, you're going to write a secret farm party.
Okay, so same speaker, different speaker. What do you think? Okay, and it's not the same. It's always the same thing. I mean, we choose the our difficulty. So yeah, it's not the same. But yeah, you have different sample, and you can have you not memorize because you don't have enough to memorize. But with 2 minutes, it's exactly the same thing. We can't have a familiar voice with 2 minutes. So it's something you can compare very quickly and try to take a decision. And the consequence of this kind of stimulus is that our listener take a decision very quickly. In around 30 seconds, they take this decision. So that's why we choose this. Okay, so I come back here. So yeah, and so they can use they can retry to listen, but usually they just take the decision very quickly. This has the results. Yeah, you will have the other sides, and I think that what is very interesting is that our automatic system is better than the decision we takes by humans. And our first question was because the question is the human performance analysis, and it's the very important thing. So the first thing that we can have for good information to know if we can have a confidence of the decision of human is to see if they are agree, and what's happened when they are agree. Did they take the good decision, or did they are wrong? So you can see that here, we can't know if they agree. It's not a good indication of the fact that we can have confidence of that on their decision, because they do. If you here you have, this is the good answer. Okay, that's the correct answer. And here are the trials, and so you can see that here, that seems that they take the correct decision. But here, on when they are working on target, we can't know if it's good or not, because here you have exactly the same proportion. And the confidence score they gave is not a good indication too. So you can't trust the people when they say, okay, I'm sure that it's the same. That's not a good indication to say, okay, we can trust them. So that's a problem. And for we have some discussion on the protocol of Heather, because the first thing is that our listener have the feeling that it was more an evaluation to know if they can compense the channels than to evaluate the proximity of the voice for two speakers. So, but it's because it's just not the task they have they usually do. So, yeah, it was difficult. It's for our submission is more a perceptive test than an acoustic analysis, because they just filter when they have very different channels and something like this, but they don't use some part of the signal to know where is and to take their decision. It is just perceptive things. And for the limitation of the protocol, the question is, did we have enough trials to do statistics and to know exactly what's happened? And what is very important is that we can't randomize the trials. That means that all the speakers her in the same time, the trails, and it's clear that you don't have the same attention when you start and when it is the 100 trials you are listening. So that's important, and in psychology we do always that to have the to randomize the things. So, but after that, we have a lot of questions. After this submission, our first question was, okay, what is the influence of the number of speakers? Because we have only 3 speakers, so what's happened if we increase the number of speakers? And what is the difference between experienced and not experienced listener? Did we have sort of expert? And what is the complementarity between the human and the system decision? Because we just submit the decision of humans. So we change a little bit the protocol from Heather. We have more listener, 30 non-experienced and 10 experienced listener. We randomized because we have all the trials, so we randomized the trials, and we balanced the number of non-target and target because the first time the idea of the listener are there, okay, I have to it's balanced, so I will take the 0.5 of my natural priority result. And so, and for we only allow them to listen once the trials and not to repeat the trials again and again. And so, what are the results? It's we have only 4 non-experienced listeners that prefer above chance level. So if you take a corn and you take, it's exactly the same thing for the majority of the listeners. But what is very interesting for us is that you have a very large gap of performance according to the trials. You have some trials where 90% of the listener give the correct answer, and for other trials you have only 3% of the listeners that gave the good answer. So we don't find a difference between the male and the female trials. It's exactly the same thing. And we observe different behavior of listener. We have some listener who say always, yes, 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 it's the same, it's the same, it's the same. And others that are always saying, no, it's not the same, it's not the same, it's not the same. So we observe that from the listeners. And we find a correlation between the performance and the English level of the listeners, because here it's all non-native English people. So, yeah, we find that. So the last question was the complementarity between the human and the system. And that's what we find is that for non-target trials, the SVM have a lot of correct answer, and it's the only correct answer for the NZM and not for the human. But it's the contrary for human. We have a lot, a big proportion. Oh, sorry. We have a big proportion here of correct answer only for the human. So maybe we can find a complementarity. And that's all. And after we have our non-experienced and experienced listener, and we don't find difference on the performance for the non-experienced and the experienced listener. Yeah, it's exactly the same thing. You have the things. So for the suggestion and the future work, it's more questions than other things. Is because the first question is how the human can help the system. So maybe we have to examine the trials with the scores that are near the threshold of the system, because we observed in the complementarity that it is the trials where human are right and system is wrong. So maybe it's something we can do. And the second question is, okay, I have some trials which are very easy and other very difficult for human. What are the differences between those trials? And it's clear that it's important to replicate this kind of experience with native listeners, but I'm sure that Joe or the next paper will answer to this question. Thank you.
Do we have time for a question or two? You described performance with experienced and inexperienced listeners. How was someone an experienced or inexperienced listener?
Good question. An experienced listener is a phonetician that who doesn't, they don't work on forensic, or they don't are interested in the speaker. They work on the language, and so they annotate everyday signals. They are very, but it's not expert of forensic something, because in France we don't have this kind of people.
Any other questions? Sanjeev has one.
So this lots of people saying yes always and no always makes me think whether it would have been possible to have your human judges just give a number saying, here is my confidence it's the same listener, and you post facto calibrate each human saying, if I set the threshold here, they get the best performance. Did you do that, or has anyone else done that?
The problem is that for the first study we have done with the three people, we don't have a correlation between a correct answer and a confidence score, which is good. So we can't use we can't trust the listeners that are not. It's not because they say I'm sure that it's of my decision that significates that they are right. So it's difficult to have a calibration and to use this confidence score.
Any